আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রব্বিল আলামিন والصلاه والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاه والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاه والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى اليك واصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam is reported to have said Those people who sit in such a gathering in which they do not remember Allah Azza wa Jal, nor send salat upon their Prophet, then on Judgment Day, it will become a source of remorse for them. If Allah Azza wa Jal wills, He will punish them. And if He wills, He will forgive them. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's speech, inshallah, we're going to talk about the excellence of poverty. The excellence of poverty. Now, normally, when you think about poverty, you don't think it's a good thing, do you? You think it's a bad thing? You think that how can there be an excellence in poverty? Because normally, poverty is considered to be a great calamity. But is it really so? Is every type of poverty an adversity? And what are the benefits? Yes, there are benefits of being in a state of poverty. And inshallah, we're going to hear something about that today. And also how those people that are not in a state of poverty, how it is their responsibility to help those people that are not as well off as them. It is narrated that once the poor companions sent a representative to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, and they presented himself in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala, their representative. And he said, I am a representative of the poor. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam said, Welcome to you and to those from whom you have come. You have come from those people who I love very much. Allahu Akbar. The representative then said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, The poor people have requested, the rich people have taken the ranks of paradise. They perform Hajj, we can't afford it. They perform Umrah, and we can't afford it. When they get sick and accumulate wealth for the hereafter by giving extra wealth in charity, they get more rewards. Because they are rich, they are able to get more rewards. They are able to give more in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are able to go and perform the Hajj. They are able to perform the Umrah. We are not. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied. He said, On my behalf, convey this message to the poor companions that those of them who are patient in their poverty and hope for a reward will have three things that the rich do not have. Yes, the rich can go on Hajj. Yes, the rich can go on Umrah. Yes, the rich can spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the poor people, they will have three things that the rich will never have. Number one, there are such lofty places in paradise which the people of paradise will see like the people of the world see the stars in the sky. And only the prophets who adopted poverty, the martyrs and those who were poor and the poor believers will enter them houses in paradise. Second, the poor people enter paradise half the duration of Judgment Day. That is 500 years before the wealthy people. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to mention the third thing. He said that if a wealthy person says, Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar, and the poor person utters the same, the wealthy person cannot attain the same reward as the poor man, even if he gives 10,000 dirham silver coins in charity. The same is true for all of the good deeds. And when the representative, the poor companion went back, and he recited this whole statement to the companions that were poor. They all said, we are content. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madinah, we come to know from this incident that the king of Medina, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved the poor people. He loved the poor people very much, and he gave them a mindset to adopt a habit of patience instead of complaining about the common poverty. You know, nowadays in your life, maybe you are well off now, but there are times in our lives where our ups and downs happen. Some people stay in a state of poverty all their lives. Some people are rich all their lives, or some people have ups and downs. And the question is that when you have a down, when you are poor, when you are in a state, what is your state then? Are you showing patience at that time? Are you patient with the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Because if you are patient, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla, you are rewarded. But unfortunately, viewers of my channel, what happens is when we come across difficult times, then we start complaining. why me? What have I done wrong? You know, why my bad luck? And if you're not careful, you are questioning. You are questioning the hikmat. You are questioning your fate. You are questioning Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why me? Why not him? And again, if you're not careful, it could take you out of the folds of Islam. So always be patient in whatever happens to you. And remember this, viewers and listeners, that not every type of poverty is better, nor every type of wealth is better. Poverty and wealth, which deprives the servant of the religion and Sharia, is not good. Whereas poverty, which encourages the servant to follow Sharia and have tawakkul, i.e. reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal, and be self-sufficient, in reality that the poverty is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will be rewarded. Because what happens is some people, when they're rich, they forget the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why? Because they're so busy in earning money. And they don't think that I have to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And other people, when they're poor, they think, you know what, I haven't got time. I'm struggling. I haven't got time to go to the masjid 5 times a day. I haven't got time to go to the weekly ijtima. I remember speaking to brothers and said to them, look, why don't you come to the weekly ijtima? Why don't you come to the masjid and read your namaz? And they said to me, one brother said to me, brother, you pay my bills, yeah? You pay my bills and I'll spend my time in the masjid. I've got time. I'm earning, so I need to earn so much money. I'm struggling. I'm financially struggling. I need to earn this money. And unless I can earn this money, I can't do anything else. And so what happens there is, he's running around making money because he's struggling, but he's forgetting the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that this poverty, it is a means of companionship with the blessed prophets and the martyrs in paradise. It can be make one entitled to the shade of the mercies of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It can make one amongst the beloved bondsmen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It can make it easier for one to avoid sins. Yes, because as you have more money, then many doors open. Now, when I say many doors open, many good doors open up, but also many sinful doors open up. Yes, if you got money, the door of Hajj is open. The door of Umrah is open. The door to help people is open. The door of Sadqah is open. The door of building masjid is open. But at the same time, and viewers, I don't have to explain to you, all of the doors of sins also open up as well. All those places that you can go now that you've got money, to flash your money and spend your money in a sinful way, you know, I don't need to tell you these things. And because of that money now, that doors of sins have opened up for you. So in the same way, if you are poor, then you can't go to these places. Yes, you can't perform the Hajj. Yes, you can't perform the Umrah. Yes, you can't spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you are patient, you'll be rewarded more than them. The only difference is now is that these doors of sins are closed. So those people that are in a state of poverty, the doors of sins are closed for them. It could be a means of earning good deeds. As we heard the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then you will be rewarded more than any rich person. And in that particular zikr that we mentioned early on, that if a rich person gives 10,000 dirhams, 10,000 gold coins in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he will not attain the reward of a poor person performing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It can be a means of gaining more reward than the wealthy, as we've also said. It can be a cause of ease in reckoning on the day of judgment. It can be a means of entering paradise well before the wealthy. And it can be a means of protection from the adversities of wealth. In conclusion, viewers of Malay Channel, poverty in which there is patience has countless benefits. Viewers of Malay Channel, remember, all the virtues and blessings of poverty are for that poor Muslim who is patient in poverty. It is not for that poor Muslim who is complaining all the time, but patience. Patience is what that person needs to have. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would not eat to his full for many days. Rather, he would tie stones on his blessed stomach. The fire of the stove in his majestic home would go without burning for many months. He would suffice with water and a few days. Allahu Akbar. Can we even imagine that? Can we even imagine that situation where our stoves are not being cooked for months? When you've got a fast in the UK, the fasts are quite long at this time of the year, in the summer months, and we have like the 19, 20 hour fast, and at the end of the day, you're hungry. But do you have that? I've never had it, maybe you have, that severe hunger pain that you have to literally hold your stomach to keep that pain in. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they tied stones to the blessed stomach. How many of us have even experienced that? If you fasted 19 hours and you not experienced that pain, just think how long the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't have food and he experienced this. So all lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have heard, viewers of the channel, that the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he preferred poverty and destitution for himself. And the noble Sahaba who benefited from his blessed company also spent their blessed lives in poverty and hunger. There would be famine for many days in their lives, but in spite of this, these noble people would remain content on the will of Allah azza wa jal. There are many examples of where the companions, they didn't have food, they survived on dates and water, but there are no examples of companions complaining. No examples of companions complaining that we have nothing to eat, that we have all of this that's happening. They were all content with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, there is an incident that took place in his lifetime as well. It states that Sayyidina Sawad bin Ghafla radiallahu ta'ala states that I presented myself in the court of Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala in Kufa. And he had in front of him, listen to this, viewers of the channel, he had in front of him some barley bread and a bowl of milk. The bread was so dry and hard, listen to this, the bread was so dry and hard that he would break it with his hands and at times by placing it in his knees to break it. You know when you get a plank of wood and you place it in your knees to break it? That's what he had to do with the bread because it was that dry. Seeing this, I said to his maid, Sayyiduna Fiza radiallahu ta'ala, do you not feel sorry for him? Look, there is chaff on the bread. Bake some soft bread for him by sifting the barley so that it is not difficult to break for him. Sayyiduna Fiza radiallahu ta'ala replied, Amir al-Mu'mineen has made us vow to never sift the barley and bake it. Meanwhile, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time, turned to me and he said, O Ibn Ghafla, what are you saying to this maid? I explained what I had said and pleaded, O leader of the believers, have mercy on your soul and do not bear so much hardship. He said, oh, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family never ate wheat bread for 3 days, nor did he have flour sifted for him and baked. Once I was extremely hungry in Medina Sharif, so I went out to look for some work so that I could get something to eat. On the way, I came across a lady who was in search for a person to soak clods of earth which she had gathered in water. I talked to her and she agreed to pay me a single date per bucket of water used for soaking clods. I poured 16 buckets of water to soak the clods. As a result of this, I got blisters in my hand. Then I took the dates and went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him the whole incident. He ate from some of these dates too. Viewers of Madani Channel, we can see the simplicity of the life of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. The line of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal, despite enduring so much hardship, he never uttered a word of complaint. He never criticized, rather he continued to show gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. But nowadays, viewers of Madani Channel, how ungrateful are we? Rather than being grateful, you see, there's three levels. There's a level of being grateful. Then there's a level of silence. Then there's a level of ungrateful. Now, if rather, what we should be is we should be grateful. And if we cannot be grateful, then at least remain silent. But what are we? Ungrateful. We're always complaining about a situation. We're always complaining that we don't have anything. We're always complaining that I haven't got anything. Why has he got a house better than me? Why has he got a car better than me? Why is he earning more money than me? Why is his look better than me? Why has he got a better job than me? And all of these complaints, and we do not realize how lucky we are. We should be thanking Allah Azza wa Jal all the time. I'm going to give you a beautiful incident that should make you realize how lucky you are. It's narrated views on the channel that once a person complained to a saint of his sorrow and grief. So the saint asked him, would you accept being blind in exchange for 10,000 dirhams? I'll give you 10,000 dirhams, give me your eyesight. He replied, no. I want to keep my eyesight. He said, would you accept being dumb, not being able to speak in exchange for 10,000 dirhams? He said, no. I want to keep my voice. Would you accept having both hands and feet amputated in reply in exchange for 20,000 dirhams? He said, no. I want my hands and my feet. Would you accept being insane to lose your mind in exchange for 10,000 dirhams? He said, no. I don't want that to happen to me. He said, do you not feel ashamed that you're complaining to Allah Azza wa Jal in spite of having provisions worth 50,000 dirhams and you weren't willing to exchange them for them? Think about it, viewers of my channel. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with everything. I can see the camera, you can see me. You can hear me. Isn't this a great blessing? And yet we're still ungrateful. And in the words of the saint, would you sell your eyesight for 10,000 pounds? Would you sell your mind for 10,000 pounds? Would you sell your hands and feet for 10,000 pounds? Would you sell your ears for £10,000? Would you? No, you wouldn't. So how can you say you are poor? Allah has blessed you so much. And if you don't realize how lucky you are, then look. Look at those people that don't have them blessings. Look at those people that don't have the hands that you have. Don't have the ability to talk. Don't have the ability to look. Don't have the ability to hear. Don't have the ability to speak. And realize how lucky you are. You may think that, okay, I don't have a bank balance. I don't have a credit card that I can use and go out and buy £10,000 worth of stuff. I don't have these things. But rather than looking at the things that you don't have, look at the things that you do have. And be thankful for what you have. You know, here in the UK, in the West, in many, many places around the world, we have shelters. We have a house. It's the cold days now. People are living out without any shelters. People are all around the world, there are Muslims all around the world, viewers of Millie Channel, that don't have a shelter right now. You know, we go home here in the UK, we've got central heating, we put it on and leave it on 24 hours a day. People don't even have any heating whatsoever. So how lucky we are, how fortunate we are that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with so much. And yet we still complain. How ungrateful we are that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us so much. All right, I'm cold. I'm feeling cold, but I've been blessed that Allah Azza wa Jalla has enabled me to have this coat. I've got a coat on to be able to keep myself warm. I've got a vest underneath here to keep myself warm. Isn't that a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla? Should I not be thankful for Allah Azza wa Jalla? Allah has blessed me with these things. Instead of being ungrateful. But unfortunately, viewers of Millie Channel, that is what is happening to us. We are now ungrateful. We're not thankful for whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us. And the problem is, viewers of Millie Channel, we're looking to those people. Those people that have got more than us. And thinking, why? What do I have to do to get there? And what happens is to get there, we'll commit all sorts of sins. We don't care what we do. As long as we get there. We don't care if we have to, you know, hurt people, damage people, steal, rob, whatever. As long as we get there. What we should be doing is we should be looking at those people that are not as fortunate as we are and think to ourselves, Ya Allah, how lucky I am. How fortunate I am. And I've seen some social media posts recently where there's a person in a wheelchair and he's wishing that he could get out of the wheelchair and walk. There's a person that's walking and he's wishing that he could have a bike. There's a person that's got a bike wishing that he could have a car. There's a person that's got a car wishing he could have all these things, an aeroplane, an helicopter, etc. And that is the problem of using money. We're always wishing for more rather than being thankful for what we've got. And that is a lesson that we need to learn, viewers of Millie Channel. Where Islam also prevents us from miserliness as well. It also forbids us to be extravagant and teaches moderation. Islam is all about moderation. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, and those who when they spend neither exceed the limits, nor act miserly and stay in moderation between the two. It is written, under the ayat in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, extravagance means spending in disobedience. One saint said, there is no good in extravagance, whilst another saint said, there is no extravagance in any good actions. For example, if you were to spend all your money in building a masjid, then that's not extravagance, because it's a good deed. If you were to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla in a good deed, that's not extravagance. But if you spend and wastefully buy clothes that you don't need, wastefully buy things that you don't need, gadgets that you're never going to use, just for the fact that, oh, it's the newest gadget, I've got to have it. It's the newest phone, I've got to have it. It's the newest PC tablet, I've got to have it, even though you've got two others. Yeah, that's extravagant, that's wasting money, unless you're going to use it for a good means. There is no extravagance in any good actions. Also, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, regarding miserliness, he said, what is meant by this is that the servant falls short in fulfilling the rights prescribed by Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's narrated, he who prevented a right, he acted miserly, and he who spent unjustly, squandered. Some commentators have said, the people mentioned in this verse are the great Sahaba of the leader of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who neither ate to live in pleasure and bliss, nor did they were for beauty and adornment. The only goal was to suppress hunger, to hide the sitr, and to protect themselves from the heat and the cold. That's what your clothes do. How much food do we need? You know, this greed inside us as well is something viewers of Montel, that you see a table full of food and you want to eat it all, but you can only eat that much. But our eyes want to eat it all and we have this greed and we'll buy all this food. Nowadays, people go to the shops and they buy more than they need. And what happens is that food gets wasted. So now you've got the sin of wasting food as well. You've got the sin of spending and extravagance, and you've also got the sin of wasting food as well. Because, oh, I want that as well. I could do with this and I could do with that and I love this and I love that. And we buy clothes that we don't need. We buy all sorts of things that we don't need, and it's just wasted. So many clothes are in our cupboards, never been used, maybe used once and then put there. So much food is in our cupboards, going to waste, going off, and then we have to throw it in the bins. All of this is wasted. Why did we not think at the time of buying, but we had this greed inside us, and we're spending in extravagance? Viewers of this channel, one of the benefits of poverty is that sometimes poverty is better for a person, and there is more comfort and security for him in poverty than wealth. Wealth is something that indulges a person into many sins. Today, there is a large group of people who are engaged in sins due to the abundance of wealth. And we know that. They have been distanced from the divine court of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are afflicted with pride and arrogance due to the abundance of wealth. That's another thing that happens. When people have got wealth, when they've got money, then they think they are better than other people. And when they think they are better than other people, then they have this arrogance inside them, this pride inside them as well. Why? Just because you've got money? Have you ever thought to yourself, where did that money come from? Where did that money come from? Well, I earned it. I worked hard. 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've been working really hard for that. But I've said it many times on Madani Channel before, viewers of Madani Channel. Who give you the strength to be able to work hard? Who give you the intellect to be able to work hard? Who give you them opportunities? Yes, them opportunities to be able to earn that kind of money. And viewers of Madani Channel, those especially that are living in the West and watching this program right now, you may have, many of you now may have more money in your pockets than people can earn in a full month in poorer countries around the world. What is the difference between you here in the UK, working on a minimum wage, earning decent money, and that person that's sitting on the streets in poorer countries selling pens and combs? What is the difference between you and him? What did you do to be able to get that job? What did you do to be able to born in this country? What did you do to get the opportunities that you were given? They were all blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. So never think to yourself as better than that person. You should be thankful that Allah Azza wa Jal put you in this position. If Allah wanted, Allah could have put you in that position. Allah could have put you in a position much worse than that. You should be thankful whatever position Allah Azza wa Jal has put you in. Those people that are rich, once they get all this money, they are oblivious to the thought of the hereafter. They think that they're going to live forever. And they plan forever. And I see these people that are in their 70s, they're getting close to 80, and they're opening up new business ventures now. They're that old, and yet they're still opening new businesses. Do they not realize that that clock is ticking? But no, they want to earn more and more and more. And that is never enough. It's never enough. They do not care. Once happens, once you've got money, then you have that greed inside you. And once you've got that greed inside you, you don't distinguish between halal and haram. And you just want the money. You don't care how it comes, as long as it comes. Halal, okay. Haram, okay. I don't care. I don't even question whether it's halal. All I know is it's money. I don't know whether it's halal. I don't know whether it's haram. And these people don't even care. And that's the mindset that's come from. And then what happens is these people, once they develop this mindset that everything's money, then they're far from salah. They're not reading the namaz. Why? Because the namaz all of a sudden stops them from earning money. Oi, oi, oi. They can't read the namaz now, can they? Because, oh, that would mean leaving this job. That would mean not taking that job. Even that taxi driver that's making money, he'll say to himself, look, I can't go to the masjid and read my namaz. And yet for him, it's the easiest. He's on effectively flexi time. He can stop and start whenever he wishes. But him, how hard is it for that person to go and read namaz in for the masjid? And yet it is the easiest for him. But no, he wants another job. I want another job. I want another job. And he'll make sure that he earns more money. And because he's earning more money, he's away from it. Those people that have this wealth, they're deprived from the masjid. They're deprived of reading the Quran. And the greed for wealth is ever increasing. It never stops. How many times have you seen a businessman that says, you know what, I've made enough now. I don't need to make any more money now. I've made enough now. And these people, once they get this wealth, and I'm not saying all wealthy people are like this, no. Not all wealthy people are like this. But when people get this wealth, they become active in spreading rebellion, mischief. And that is why pointing to the wisdom of being rich and poor, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Shura, verse 27, and had Allah increased the sustenance for all of his bondsmen, so they would have definitely caused turmoil in the earth. But he sends down the sustenance with a set measure as much as he wills. Indeed, he is well aware of his bondsmen. He sees this. It states in Tafsir Siratul Jinan in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal has explained the wisdom of making some people poor and some people rich. So it is said, if Allah had expanded the provision for all of His servants, they would have spread corruption in the earth. Because if Allah decreed the same sustenance for all of them, it would have been possible for people to become intoxicated in the wealth and rebellious. And it would also be possible that if nobody is dependent on anyone else, then the necessities of life could not be fulfilled, such as cleaning up waste. No one will be willing to do it. No one will be willing to transport goods. No one will work hard in construction. So every intelligent person can easily understand the deterioration that will be created in the system of the world. What Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, then, we can see from this tafsir, is that this system that Allah Azza wa Jalla created, that some are rich and some are poor, this is part of Allah's system. The question is how you deal with the system that you have been put in. If you have been made rich by Allah Azza wa Jalla, yes, Allah Azza wa Jalla made you rich. If you have been made rich by Allah Azza wa Jalla, how did you deal with that situation? If you were made poor by Allah Azza wa Jalla, how did you deal with that situation? And that is how you will be questioned, and that's how you will be tested. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that Allah Azza wa Jalla stated, certainly some of my believing servants are such that the goodness of the iman is in wealth. If I make them poor, their iman will be ruined because of it. Indeed, some of my believing servants are such that the goodness of the iman is in poverty. If I make them wealthy, the iman will be ruined because of it. I take care of the affairs of my servants with my knowledge. Verily, I am all-knowing and all-aware. So again, we're told here that some people, if Allah Azza wa Jalla were to make them rich, it would be a means of them losing the iman. If some people were made poor, it would probably be a means of losing the iman. And what we need to realize, whatever situation Allah Azza wa Jalla has put us into, we need to be thankful of that situation. You know, whatever situation we need to be in, we need to be aware that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with so much, as I mentioned before. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the destitute Muslims will enter paradise half a day before the rich. And that half a day will be equivalent to 500 years. Two things have come to light from this hadith, and I mentioned it now, and I mentioned it at the beginning as well. That the poor people are fortunate that they will be granted a blessing like paradise 500 years before the wealthy. The more wealth one has, the more trials and severe reckoning he will have to face. Therefore, stop dreaming of the wealth of this unfruitful world. Be content with what Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. We also learn from this that we have forgotten the severities of accountability and are busy in making our worldly life foolish. We forgot this. We don't realize that on the day of judgment, we're going to be held accountable for everything. All of that money that you earned, where did you spend it? If a person doesn't have money, he will not be questioned on the day of judgment, where did you spend that money? But a person that does have it. And you know what we've also realized, viewers of Millie, that those people, the people that are more content in this world, are generally the poor people. You see rich people complaining more than poor people. Rich people complaining that they've not got any more. Oh, the tax has gone up. Oh, that's happened. Oh, this has happened. Oh, I'm going to do this now. And they're complaining more. Whereas the poor people are content. You also see, viewers of Money Channel, that when it comes to spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, when you look at as a percentage of the wealth that people have, you will see that the poor people give more in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla than the rich people. The richest person in the world is he who is happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. No matter how much he's got, no matter how little he's got, no matter how much he's got, he is the richest person in the world. And the question is how rich are we? I'm not going to ask you regarding your bank balance, but how rich are you in terms of being content with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you? Being content protects a man from mental anxiety, because what happens is when you're not content, you're always, and you have mental problems. You get frustrated because you are now a slave to your desires. That all you want is to get that car, all you want is to get that house, all you want, and you don't see anything else. You don't see the pain that you're causing to other people. You don't see the problems that you're causing for other people. Why? Because you want that car, you want that house, you want that bank balance. You don't care about anybody else. And because you become a slave to your desires. But if you are content, then you're not a slave to your desires. A person that is content, it protects one from distress, anxiety. One who has content with what they have, they remain close to the relations as well. Because what happens is, when you're not content, you're so busy earning money, you forget about your family. Oh, they're not rich. And that's the other thing, viewers of Munchia. We look down on those people that don't have as much as we have. Because they don't have, I don't want to associate with them. I don't want to go and visit that relative who doesn't have a lot. But then all of a sudden, those rich relatives, we visit them. Why is it when it comes to a funeral pyre of someone that's rich, we all turn up? But a poor person, nah, we don't bother going. A rich person's ill, we go and visit him in hospital. A poor person, I ain't got time. Our own relatives, we spend more time with those people that are rich than those that are poor. Why? Ask yourself why. Why do you do this? Why do you go and visit your rich relatives more than you go and visit your poor relatives? Why do you go and visit the rich people that are in hospital more than you visit the poor people that are in hospital? Why do you go to those people that are passed away that are rich more than those people that are poor that are passed away? Ask yourself the question and be honest with yourselves. Why do you do this? Because we've got this attraction to the wealthy people. Because we want to be like them. And we have this mindset that, you know, if we sit in their company, maybe we'll become like them. It's not that easy for you as a mother channel. Sitting with a rich person doesn't make you rich. But sitting with a poor person makes you content. Sitting with a poor person makes you realize what you've got. It is better for you to sit with a poor person than you can see the blessing that Allah has bestowed upon you. Sitting with a rich person, you're going to be more complaining, more not content with what Allah has given you. You're more thinking, oh, why can't I have a house like him? Why can't I have a car like him? Why can't I have the furniture like him? And we have this mindset that, oh, if we go there, then some of it will rub off on us. It doesn't work like that. How many times have you gone to someone's house and the wealth's rubbed off to you and you come out with £1,000? It doesn't happen. Go to the poor people. Be content with them. You know, just recently, I remember seeing a new restaurant had opened up. And when this new restaurant had opened up, rather than inviting all of the rich dignitaries, all the rich, powerful people to the opening ceremony, what he did, he invited all of the poor people, children of the streets, those rubbish collectors, those beggars of the streets, he invited them to the opening and he fed all of them. And obviously, without doubt, he got the du'as of them children. You call a rich person to the opening ceremony of your restaurant, your takeaway, and he eats and goes. He eats every day. You're not going to give him anything different. But then poor people, when you help them, the du'as that you get, viewers on the channel. So this being content, viewers on the channel, is something that we need to try and adopt. The fact that contentment is the true success and the real wealth has been stated by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, richness does not mean having a great amount of wealth and poverty, but true richness is richness of the heart. Allahu Akbar. Richness of the heart. People who are greedy in accumulating wealth should think that when death comes, all of these things will remain here. Wealth will remain deposited in the bank. All the property will be divided amongst relatives. If you want to give in the way of Allah, do it while you're alive. Don't put it in your will that give all this. Give it now. Yes, give it now. Because as soon as you die, it's no longer your wealth. All right, you write it in your will and it'll get distributed according to your needs. But if you can give in the way of Allah whilst you're alive, the reward is there. And that's what we should be doing. It is stated in the Quran, viewers on the channel, the desire to seek more and more wealth has kept you neglectful from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal until you died, confronted the graves. You will soon come to know. And again, yes, certainly you will come to know. Yes, certainly. If you had known with knowledge of certainty, so you would not have loved wealth. Indeed, you will definitely see hell. Again, indeed, you will definitely see it with the sight of certainty. Then indeed, on the day, you will surely be questioned regarding the bounties that have been bestowed upon you. It stays in Tafsir Siratul Jinan. Remember, the reality of the wealth is that it's coveted, is that it stays with the person as long as the soul remains in his body. And as soon as the soul separates from his body and he is buried in the grave, the wealth leaves him and only his deeds go with him in his grave. Therefore, every wise person should try and do more good deeds instead of being greedy for more wealth so that they may be his the best companion in the grave. And you know, another thing here, viewers, I've seen it so many times, that when people pass away, the children then start arguing with each other. The children start falling out with each other over the inheritance. Because some people will follow Sharia, some don't want to, and some say, well, I did this, and I did this, and I want more. And very, very few people, I only know of two people I know, that during their lifetime, they distributed all of the wealth to the children and the family. And when they died, all they had was the money that they had, personal wealth that they had. The land that they had, the properties they had, everything, they distributed everything. And all they had was the money that they had in their own personal bank balance. Very few people do that. They hold on to their wealth, they hold on to the wealth. And at the other extreme, I know of families, I know of people that have passed away 20, 30 years ago. Yes, 25 years ago, I can think of one example. Someone passed away 25 years ago and the children are still arguing over the inheritance. The house has been locked up. It's covered in dust. It's never been opened in 20 years. Why? Because the children are arguing over the inheritance and it's not been sorted. And again, this wealth caused so much conflict amongst brothers and sisters and relatives as well. People fall into each other fall out with each other. They fight over land. They take their brother to court cases where they fight over a piece of land that's no bigger than their grave. Yet they don't know that they're going to go and fall in that dark and lonely grave. And this greed inside us, it never ends, viewers of the channel. We should be content with what we have got. And the problem is we always want more. There was a story that I related on Madri Channel once before, viewers of my channel, in which a king, he decided to distribute his kingdom to his four sons. And he said to his four sons that tomorrow morning at Fajr, you'll all leave in four separate directions. One this way, one this way, one this way, one that way. And however far you go, that land is yours. The only condition is that you need to be back here before sunset. Back here before Maghrib. So Salatul Fajr, they performed Salatul Fajr and then they all disappeared. The hooves of the horses throwing dust up everywhere. They all went to the places. Zuhr comes, the king is waiting. Asr comes, the king is waiting. The sun begins to set, the king is waiting. The sun sets, not a single son came back. Why? Bit more, bit more, bit more. And this greed for a bit more ended up them having nothing. And ultimately the only land they got, what? Was the graves. So again, viewers of Manchal, we need to be content with what people have got. And we need to not only be content, but also if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with wealth, then you also need to help the poor people as well. Help the poor people as well. Help those poor relatives in countries that were not benefiting as with you. It is stated that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the poor person who refrains from begging despite having children. There'll be people in your relatives that don't beg. And because they don't beg, you don't give it to them. But if you can see that they need money, then help them. Help them. Help your relatives. And here, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us here in the West with wealth. We have more money here. Like I said many, many times, we've probably got more money in our pockets, in our houses, than people can earn in a whole month or maybe a lot longer than that. Yet when it comes to helping the poor, we don't want to do it. And sometimes people say that, oh, if I help him, then tomorrow he'll stand up and he'll be able to speak to me and he'll stand up and confront me. What's wrong with that if he confronts you? Help him. Help the person. And if you help him with good intentions, then inshallah, you'll be rewarded. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also stated, there is a key to everything. And the key to paradise is love for the destitute and the poor who are patient. Those people will be close to Allah azza wa jal on the day of judgment. So we should help the poor people. We should help the poor people, but that is our responsibility. The poor will not be questioned on the day of judgment. Why did you not help the poor people? Why did you not spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal? But if you've got money, you will be questioned on the day of judgment. What did you do with that money? What did you spend that money on? So viewers of Mother Channel, today, in today's weekly Ijtima, we've learned very, very briefly. And there's so much more that we can say, but time is against us. But we need to, one, if we are in a state of poverty, then we still need to be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla and show patience at that time. And realize that in that particular state, if you are showing patience, it is a blessing for you. Because the reward of every good deed is so much more than that person that is rich. Secondly, if you have wealth, then that wealth should not blind us from following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That wealth is also, yes, we should see it as a blessing. Be thankful that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. But at the same time, don't let that wealth blind us and make us more and more greedy for wealth, that it takes us away from the Quran, takes us away from the masjid, takes us away from the reading our namaz. And also, that wealth is also a test that did you spend it on the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Now, I'm not saying to you that, okay, all the money that you got, you gotta give it to the poor. No. Yes, if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you, wear nice clothes, have a nice car, have a nice house. But at the same time, help the poor as well. Spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Earn the rewards, because when you enter that dark and lonely grave, yeah, that £1 million that you leave to your children will disappear. What will stay behind, you brothers, viewers of the channel? The things that will stay with you, that will go into you with that dark and lonely grave, are your good deeds. And there are certain good deeds, that sadqa jariya, that the reward can be continuing. For example, if you build a masjid, if you build a madrasa, if you build a tree, if you help poor people, if you establish something for them, if you help the poor, that they can continue their lives, then they will continue to do du'as for you. If from your children, you spend in their education and make them scholars of the deen, so that knowledge continues, you will benefit from that. But if you give them £1 million, that will not benefit you. in that dark and lonely grave. But if you spend your wealth in educating your children, giving in them, instilling in their hearts the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that will benefit you in that dark and lonely grave. So viewers of Manishal, I pray to Allah that we all learn to be content with whatever state we are in. Be content. Yes, I'm not saying don't work hard to try and achieve more. But whatever Allah has given you, be thankful. Be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me this. And if I didn't have this, then I could be a lot worse off than this. So this is a blessing that we need to thank Allah Azza wa Jalla. And don't just think to yourself, oh, I've not had money for 20 years. I've been a Sharif Fakir that I've not paid zakat for 20 years. And now all of a sudden I've got money, now I have to pay zakat. No, because I've been that 20 years, I'm not going to pay for the next 20 years. No, as soon as it becomes fard upon you to pay your zakat, you need to pay it. As soon as it becomes fard upon you to perform your hajj when you've been blessed with wealth, you need to perform it. Don't just think to yourself, oh, I've been living in poverty for 20 years. Let me have a bit of fun for the next 5 years and then I'll think about going on hajj. Then I'll think about giving my zakat. No. As soon as it becomes fard upon you, make the intention to perform hajj. As soon as it becomes fard upon you, then you must give your zakat. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah first and foremost, make me content with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me. All our viewers content with whatever state Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you. If you are struggling, and yes, I know people are struggling, it's very easy for me here to sit here, but I know that people are struggling out there. If you are struggling, then remain patient. Show patience in the face of adversity, and inshallah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will reward you for your patience. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Muballigh, for you, it's